Levi has a class every Tuesday at our local library, and this gives me an opportunity to work at the library. Every once in a while, grab a book and try and read it. I've been reading this book now for about almost 2 months. The library keeps renewing it for me, thankfully. I'm probably about a third of the way through the book. But the book that I have been reading is about what happened after World War II. Now, it's not probably a book for everybody, but I like history. I find it interesting. And it's about how after the war, many of the scientists who were working in Germany for the war effort there were brought over to the United States, and we used them to help our science in creating better weapons of war and more destructive things. From missiles to airplanes, chemical warfare, space, tanks, anything that they could think of. They took as much as they could and brought it over here in preparation to go to more war, because we were still at war with Japan at that time. As I was reading this book, the thought came to me that, you know, it's been 75 years since World War II ended, or at least when Germany surrendered. And you have to wonder, all those technological advancements that they had at that point in time, how much further have they progressed today? How well are they at hiding the atrocities that are happening around the world with war going on? The other day, somebody was showing some people 4K footage of actual war going on in Ukraine. It's scary to think about. It's sad to watch if you have the stomach to watch such a thing, like a grenade going off on somebody. It's an ugly, rotten world, no matter what country is in charge. Human nature, given over to the powerful leader of this world, is sad, degenerate, and fantastically hell-bent on destruction of all people. It's sad to think about all the things that go on in this world. Just to name a little bit: fighting, starvation, greed, and the list goes on. But God offers a different way. I think it can be hard sometimes to imagine that there is another way, because we live in a society that is so steeped in everything evil. And the only way to fix this is to let Satan and man see this almost to the bitter end, which is what the Bible prophesies. God is tired of the way this world is going. But what do we see, brethren, when we look at ourselves? Do we see the ways of this world starting to seep into our thoughts? Do we find hatred for the things that we see in this world that are evil and detrimental? Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 4 says this, Ezekiel 9, 4. And the Lord said to him, "Go there through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it." When we stop and think about our lives in this world, what really matters on a day-to-day basis? Is it the world's riches that matter to us? Is it the prestigious things that you can accomplish in this life? Is it fame? Now, personally, sometimes it feels a little bit frustrating to not have, say, a nice home, or to be able to afford a nice home. But in the end, does that really matter? And you can put anything in place of that, whatever is in your mind. You know, it's very hard at times to think about what we want to do, what we want to accomplish, and then feel discouraged when we're maybe not making enough strides like we feel towards that. But does it really matter? The Bible lays out the fact that Moses had anything that he could think of laid at his fingertips. In Hebrews 11 and verse 24, it says, "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." God's truth, God's plan, his purpose is so very far different than what we see now in this world. It doesn't even begin to compare. But as human beings living this life, it's easy to lose sight of this fact when we are surrounded by the darkness and the despair that is all around us. It is very hard to stay as the lights of this world when we are confronted daily with our lives, with the things that we each go through. How we orient ourselves is how we will end up living through this life. In John chapter 8 and verse 42, Christ's speaking here, and he says, John 8 and verse 42, "And Jesus said to them, 'If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God.'" Christ is saying that it is very dependent upon us who have been called to continue in this truth, to continue in coming and staying in contact with God. Christ said that he did not speak his own words, but spoke what the Father told him to speak. I don't think this was just hyperbole. You know, it took everything within Christ to not sin. He knew that he could not. And I don't think that it was an easy thing for him, but he did it, and did it perfectly. He had to constantly be on guard. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, he was able to accomplish this incredible feat. We don't have the level of God's Spirit flowing through us as Christ did. But with consistent practice, with the trial and errors that we go through, we learn how to draw closer and closer with God. renewing our minds, our thoughts, and learning how to live properly with God leading our lives, allowing us to bring glory and honor to Him. The Bible gives us encouragement that others before us were able to live this way of life, and they were able to run their course. Of course, they had serious trials. They had intense troubles. But they were able to keep their eyes on what they were searching for, giving them the strength, the courage, the tenacity to put one foot in front of another. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 19, we read about Paul. Acts 14 and verse 19. Then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, they made many disciples and returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, the very places where he had just been stoned, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." When I'm feeling discouraged or frustrated, this is one of the passages I go to. Paul's unwavering push and strength in encouraging others, no matter what he himself went through, encourages me. Beaten nearly to death, he gets up, leaves on a new journey the next day, and starts preaching in other cities, encouraging brethren to deal with the things that are happening to them, encouraging them to take up their faith and keep going. This level of commitment doesn't happen overnight, nor is it easy to sustain. You read about many in the early church who walked that way of life for a time and then left because of one reason or another. I think it's important, though, that it's dependent upon what is being searched for. In our mindsets, if we have the mindset that we are missing out on something in this world, then it's going to be hard to stay focused on this way of life. If we are focused on God, on the reward that will come, then God will add the things that we need, the things that are good for us. So many times we quote Matthew 6, 31 through 34. "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." It's a simple instruction, yet it's hard to consistently stay after that. But this message today is about each of our journey. That none of us have the same path. We are all unique in going through this life to reach our potential, the one that God has put there in front of us, for us. Stay encouraged, brethren. Stay seeking God. There's so much to become discouraged about, frustrated over, angry, even doubtful at times. But we can overcome all these things if we know exactly what it is we are looking for. We can't do this on our own, and so we must keep God in the forefront so that we know exactly what it is we are searching for.